Hey, hi, how are you? Welcome back. Gwen and Chris rolling along into hour number three. 401 is the time. A happy Friar Friday to you wherever you may be this hour. 97.3 The Fan brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, Scraby, pay attention. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. I guess that's expresspros.com. It's not, I guess. It's just that the rest of the read ran out here.
You know, some of the reads that we've had this week have been problematic.
Poorly put together by whoever puts these things together.
We actually, during Annie Nelson yesterday, when I was in here playing the game, Craig had to read the first read that I actually sent to Adam on Monday and said, this makes zero sense. Do we have to read this? And Adam said, don't read it. And Craig ended up...
And he ended up trying to read it.
Yes, and it was so bad.
Yeah, if you're ever wondering out there, we don't check these things. We just start reading them.
I do sometimes.
And then we get taken down the wrong road. Chance right now for you to win a pair of tickets to see the San Diego Legion. That's great rugby. They'll take on the defending champion New England Free Jacks at Snapdragon Stadium. Match is coming up on May 19th. I believe that would be a week from Sunday. Tickets are on sale now at sdlegion.com, or you can win a pair right now. But all you have to do to do that is beat me in a game of Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. I gotta say, Chris, about the job thing real quick, I've been able to keep jobs that I've had, but finding a job has been incredibly hard in my life.
It's not easy for anybody.
Yeah,
honestly, I was talking about that with somebody the other day. I believe there's only one profession that I know of that you can get a job almost without fail.
Pro athlete?
No, not pro athlete. Are you kidding? A lot of people want to be a pro athlete.
Oh, I see what you're... I thought you meant like older guys.
No,
coming
I'm talking
back.
About just like going into college or going into school and then trying to find a job that they need people. Nurse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have heard that many
times. I can't guarantee you'll be a nurse, but if you want to put in the work and go to school for it, there always seem to be looking for nurses out there.
They are. I've seen that as well.
But other than that...
Teachers as well.
Okay, teachers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nurses probably pays a little better than teachers, which isn't necessarily the reason you would do it.
No, it definitely does.
But it does bring up the point that teachers make far too little money, and a lot of other people make far too much, but that's neither here nor there.
I just wanted to bring it up because some people in the chat were saying that they're out of work and they're looking for a job right now.
It's
and
tough.
So I wanted to say, I'm sorry, I've been there.
Feel for all you guys and girls out there.
It's a terrible, terrible time.
It's a very tough time to need, and it's a tough time to try to find a job, even if you really, really want one.
This is a pre-stopping drinking Scraby, but I was so desperate for a job, Chris. I started just dropping off resumes at local offices, and one guy told
me... Were you sober when you were dropping them off?
Yes, I immediately...
That would probably decrease your chances
a little bit. I mean, I probably wasn't looking or smelling like the greatest person in the world, but still, I got so mad one time, I was like, what do I have to do to get a job?
Perfect.
And they're like, sir, can you please leave?
You know what? While we're going on this, we might as well stick with it. How are you on dealing with people that are begging for money in the street? And I'm not, I honestly feel really, really bad for these people.
Me too.
But what concerns me is that a lot of them actually don't really need the money and they're just like trying to take advantage of the situation.
That is concerning.
So it's hard sometimes to say, here's a bunch of money, go blow it on alcohol or, you know, go add it to the stack of money you already have, as opposed to trying to take care of somebody who really could use a boost. We talked about this the other day when you read the story about,
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather gave out all that money to those homeless people.
He gave out $10,000. And I've been trying to find like a follow-up on that. But those guys, I remember reading that article, were very nervous that people were going to rob them or beat them up and try to take their money. But in San Francisco, I worked for one of my college classes. I had to work with like a homeless shelter for a little bit.
Okay.
And they always said, bring, you know, if you have leftovers after going out to dinner, you know, make sure that the leftovers aren't like gross.
Bring that
or anything,
to people.
But like,
on the
give
streets.
Them a meal or give them, you know, a gift card to a restaurant, and that will make you feel a little bit better. One time I offered a guy fat-free Oreos, Chris, and he told me he doesn't eat fat-free food. And I said, okay, I will take my Oreos and I will leave.
He needed extra fat food.
Yeah.
If he was going to accept your gift of charity.
Yes. Anyway.
All right. Well, just threw that out there.
Yeah,
it's something that I think about often.
Well, I mean, going to the game tonight, you know, driving down that Imperial Avenue, it's sad to me. It really is, because there are a lot of people that need help. Anyway.
True that.
Yes. All right. Let's get to our contestants, and we're going to go with Chris first. Not this Chris, but another Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
Hey, Chris. Not too much. Are you ready to play?
I'm a first-time player.
First-time player. Welcome into the game.
All right. Here we go.
You're
question number
question
two.
Question number two, just like that.
Let's see. Retired pitcher Josh Beckett played for three teams in his career. Name all three.
Josh Beckett.
So, Marlins.
Okay.
Red Sox.
Okay.
Third one, tell me.
You don't know it?
Beckett. Let's go Giants.
Giants.
Stay there, though. Stay there. I'm not going to say which ones are
right. I remember the Marlins and the Red Sox, so I'm feeling pretty comfortable about that.
Okay.
Feeling less comfortable, but I think I remember him toiling for the nasty old Dodgers.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Chris. Thank you.
Close, Chris. Very close. Good try.
All right. Let's get to our next contestant, Justin in Encinitas. What's up, Justin?
How we doing, fellas?
Oh, hi, Justin. Good. Are you ready to play?
Absolutely. Let's
Here we
do
go.
It.
Let's play ball.
Who is starting for the Padres tonight?
Starting
pitcher.
I hope Michael King can pull it out for us.
There you go. All of us are, Justin. All right, here we go to question number two. We'll stay with the team thing. Marcus Stroman currently plays for the Yankees. Name the other three Major League Baseball teams he's played for.
Okay. I'm going to say A's.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go Cubs.
Okay.
And, oh, man, I don't know. Marlins.
All right. Stay there just in case. But, Chris, Marcus Stroman plays
three
for
other
the
teams?
Yankees. Three other teams he's played for.
Cubs was right. He missed the Mets and he missed the Blue Jays, I think.
Sorry, Justin.
Good try.
All right.
Good effort.
Was that too hard of a second question?
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, for the draw.
All right.
You know?
All right. Let's go to, our guy Cesar. Haven't talked to him in a long time. What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy days to you, Cesar.
Are you ready to play, sir?
Let's do it.
All right. What former Padres pitcher currently has a 1.92 ERA for the Royals?
Oh, man, it's one of two guys. I'm going to go with Waka.
Waka. Oh, no. Chris?
You picked the wrong guy, unfortunately. Seth Lugo is off to a great start for the Royals.
Tough break, Cesar. Tough break.
I hate it. I hate it when the good contestants get eliminated first question.
It happens. It happens.
All right, let's
and, you know, good contestants win sometimes, too.
Yes, they do.
You don't seem to hate that.
Nope, not at
Anytime
all.
Anytime they can beat me, you're a happy person.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
John in East County. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, John.
I used to listen to Ron Oakes with my transistor radio under my pillow on school nights.
You like that? Yeah, Ron Oakes. I'll tell you one thing. He's a great hockey broadcaster.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Really had the voice for it, had the staccato, great delivery. But he had a temper.
I like, apparently so. I mean, he went to Fist City. I love that you said you listened to it with it under your pillow, because when I was a kid, I listened to sports under my pillow, too, in the radio.
Yeah, so. I did.
All right, here we go, John. Question number one. What city do the Indiana Pacers play in?
I believe Indianapolis.
Correct. Question number two. On ESPN.com, what position do they list for Luka Doncic?
Forward.
A forward. All right, stay there, though. Chris is giving me a really weird look.
What position does he play?
Yeah, what position does ESPN.com say Luka Doncic plays?
Oh. Point guard? I don't know. Oh, okay.
Wow.
I didn't know
it's sorry,
quite
John.
After there. Sorry, John.
Well, I went to the Luka page earlier mm-hmm. today, and I was looking.
You're surprised by that.
He's not a point guard, is he?
I don't know. He dribbles the ball up the floor, and he...
So I guess he is
runs
a point
the
guard.
Offense.
I guess he is the point
He's
guard.
He's tall.
Yeah, that's
a point
what
guard.
I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter.
But Magic
I guess.
Johnson was 6'9". He was also a point
it's true.
Guard.
So. All right. Fair enough.
Not impossible.
Not impossible. Let's go to our next contestant, Armando. Hello, Armando.
Hello.
Are you ready to play?
Yeah. Let's see if we can take him down.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's
boy,
do
Armando.
This.
Go get it.
What inning did Jurickson Profar hit his home run against Imanaga on Tuesday night?
The eighth inning.
Eighth inning is correct.
Armando's nice off and rolling.
Armando. Question number two. What Padres pitcher has the most strikeouts in a single game this season?
Dylan Cease
is correct with 12.
Yesterday, right?
Yes. Was there, because Chris gave it a look like there was another guy. Did someone have a 14 strikeout game this year?
No. Glasnow did for the Dodgers.
Okay.
But,
Michael King had 10. That was the, okay. All right. Here we go to the third question, Armando.
Armando's one answer away from taking down his stated goal, which is taking me down.
Yes. Here we go.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm with it.
Do it.
Who is the last pitcher? No, wait. No. Who is the only player to win All-Star Game MVP and World Series MVP in the same season?
Oof. Mike Trout.
Mike Trout.
Oh, he hasn't won a World Series.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper. No, not
Bryce
even.
Bryce Harper. It's okay. He has won a World Series. It is not him, though. Mike Trout.
World Series.
As soon as Armando said it, he was like, wait, no.
This is a hell of a question, Scrape.
Thanks.
I got to tell you.
Another MLB.com special.
Yeah, World Series MVP and what? All-Star Game MVP.
Yep.
All right. That could be just about anybody, really. I don't know.
Oh, that's it?
I guess I should guess somebody. Edgar Renteria.
Oh, he won MVP of everything else.
Yeah, I looked him up today, so he came to mind.
Wow, Armando.
Armando,
you
have done it. You have taken me down.
Stay there, Armando. I'll get your information in the break. It was Derek Jeter.
Ah, all right. would have been a good guess, being as the Yankees won a quite a few.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to match that up. World Series MVP and All-Star game.
Wait, Harper didn't win a World Series with the Nationals? I thought he did.
No. He was gone from the Nationals the year they won the World Series, so he had to wear that for a little while.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I think he still has to wear it because he hasn't won with the Phillies.
No, I knew he didn't win with the Phillies, but I could have sworn, but no, he wasn't.
I know,
right.
It seems like he was with the Nationals that year, but I think he had gone.
No, you're right, he did, because that was the joke, is that as soon as he left the Nationals, they won a World Series.
Right. Thanks, one of those
Brandon.
Weird ones where they have a star player, he leaves, and then the team wins it all. And then they try to blame it all on Bryce Harper as if that was the reason.
I think Bryce Harper, when he was introduced by the Phillies, he said something about the Nationals. He was thanking Nationals people.
Yeah. You can say what you want. That guy's a fairly good player.
Oh, yeah. Bryce Harper. I tell Chris this every time I see him on TV. He's usually doing a home run trot when I see him on TV.
He hit a three-run home run three straight games this week. So,
really? I didn't see that.
Well, he had a three-run, and then a grand slam in the next game.
Dang.
Yeah, he's pretty good. All right, very good, Armando. You're good, too. A nice win. I will tell you, All-Star Game MVPs are quite arbitrary.
I'm kind of out of questions.
That's
so
why it's
you're okay,
really
Chris.
Tough to get that one. But well done for Armando. We'll take a break. More Gwen and Chris after traffic. All right, Armando has walked right in here and said he's going to whip my butt in Chris versus the fans. And then he did it. Oh boy, Armando. That's the first time that I think anybody's actually come on and called their shot.
That is true.
Most people have a lot of respect for the guy who answers all those trivia questions. Armando had none at all.
I don't know that that's
just ran
the case.
Roughshod over me.
I just don't know if that's
well
the
done,
case.
Armando. No, that's fine. I liked his character out there. He's a Chris versus the fans winner. You'll get your chance starting Monday. Padres and Dodgers pregame show. Sam Levitt has it a little over than an hour from right now. NBA playoffs are underway. So far, the refs have not made any bad calls against the Pacers. They're leading the Knickerbockers 12-4 in the first quarter. But just wait, Rick Carlisle. Pretty soon these refs will get the message that they're supposed to cheat for the Knicks, as they did in the first two games.
Yes.
Florida and Boston, no score first period, NHL Stanley Cup playoff action. The experts have spoken, Scraby.
Okay.
Less than, 3 weeks since the NFL draft was, came out. And I thought this was interesting. The experts at ESPN were all asked a bunch of different questions. Among them, what was the biggest head-scratching pick of the draft? Well, I think this was an obvious answer.
Yeah, Michael Penix.
I mean, Bell, whoever Bell is, I think it's Stefania Bell.
Oh, yeah, I know Stefania
Bell. She said Michael Penix to the Falcons. Hard to justify this pick. Some guy named Bowen.
Matt Bowen.
I don't know.
Yep, I know who he is.
All right. He said Michael Penix. Obvious. This is stupid.
Okay.
Et cetera. A couple more Penixes.
What
Penix,
did Field Yates
Penix.
Say?
Field Yates. He said Penix.
Okay.
He said
what
that
did
that was just the dumbest thing
what
ever.
What did Mike Clay say?
Mike Clay wasn't on this list.
Okay. He's more of a betting guy. I think.
But some guy named Fowler was.
Oh, Chris?
No, not Chris Fowler, but another Fowler.
Okay.
Biggest head-scratching pick, according to him, Ricky Pearsall to the San Francisco 49ers at number 31.
Well, he's a bum, so.
Said Fowler.
That writer.
Said he's a bum.
He's a bum.
Said Fowler, I'm not about to doubt Kyle Shanahan's eye.
It sounds like you are.
For offensive skill players, and I love Pearsall as a player.
Okay.
But his place as WR6, I guess he was a sixth receiver drafted.
No. Oh, I see. Okay.
It was unexpected.
I thought that was depth chart.
No, he was the sixth
wide
receiver. He said, most teams I spoke to pegged this guy as a day two pick, and considering the 49ers still have Debo and Brandon Ayuk, what were they thinking? So there you go. You dummies.
You know, I've said this, Chris. I feel like sometimes Kyle Shanahan tries to outsmart everyone, and it's got him in trouble. He tried to do it with Trey Lance. Trey Lance didn't work out. I don't even think he's on a team right now because the Cowboys.
I will say this about our guy, John Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's our guy. He's a San Diego guy.
He knows how to put the team together.
But that's what I'm saying. How many teams in the NFL could screw up a quarterback selection of Trey Lance, as badly as the 49ers
did.
Lose all the picks they lost, get nothing for the guy or from the guy, and still be in the Super Bowl. Like a lot of teams, that mistake, right, of drafting Trey Lance and trading to get him and all of that and the big disaster that's been.
Yeah.
For a lot of teams, that'd be the end of the road for 5 or 6 years.
It would. And Kyle Shanahan, I think, got lucky because Brock Purdy showed up and was able to take the pressure off of him for why isn't your quarterback that you drafted number 3 overall any good. I think if that went different, Kyle Shanahan might not even be the coach of the 49ers right now.
Well, Brock Purdy's saved a lot of hearts in San Francisco so far.
He saved mine, Chris.
Yes, that's right. He is the guy. And no, the rumor's not true. When Will Smith comes up to bat tonight, they're not going to put a picture of Brock Purdy up on the scoreboard.
No, it's not going to happen. That would be would that be on par with
be pretty smart?
Would that be on par with the crying Kershaw meme on the board?
A little bit.
Okay.
You know, if you're wondering why I'm saying they put up a Brock Purdy picture, they're not getting the connection because it would be the Padres basically saying that Will Smith is Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, Brock Purdy was
in
Mr.
reference
Irrelevant.
To Will Smith's comments about our friend Jurickson Profar. Matt Bowen, you mentioned him, NFL analyst. He was asked, give us a bold prediction for the rookie class. I think this is a bold prediction right here.
Okay.
He says, Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman will lead all rookies in TD receptions this year.
It's a random thing.
Coleman was the first pick of the second round by the Bills from Florida State. So he was the seventh or eighth, maybe the seventh wide receiver taken. But here's Matt Bowen's rationale.
Okay.
The Bills have traded all their wide receivers.
So
he's the
only one
they have. And Josh Allen's still going to throw a bunch of passes down in the red zone. So you would think if Keon Coleman is, you know, has any skill at all and makes this team,
that is pretty
might
good.
Be a nice pickup.
That's a pretty good explanation. It's pretty simple to think about, actually.
It seems to make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, the Bills. Who knows?
Mike Clay, that was your guy from earlier.
Yes, I like Mike
Clay.
He
was asked, which mid-round pick will have fantasy value?
Oh, yeah. Mike Clay is good
at this. In 2024.
He does his own analytics, everything.
He better be right about this one.
Who is it?
Jalen Wright, running back, Miami Dolphins.
Ha-ha.
I don't know about this.
How many running backs do the Dolphins need?
How many are they going to have?
They have A-Chain. They have Mostert.
They still have Jeff Wilson, I think.
Jeff Wilson. They have this guy. Do they still have Myles Gaskin?
I don't think so. Yeah. No, I don't think they have him. But they definitely have Mostert and they have A-Chain. But speedy Jalen Wright, who has a path to a massive role in this fantasy-friendly environment.
You know,
you know what? This is such a typical stupid move by the Dolphins, too. Really. Even if this guy turns out to be good, I don't know how good he is, whatever.
Rod said he's a beast.
Fine. But you already have Mostert, and you're spending a ton of money on him. You've already got A-Chain, who you're developing. Why are you wasting a pick on another speedy running back when you need somebody to block for these guys? Dolphins are so stupid. They're so addicted to shiny objects, they can't figure it out. Jordan Reed, by the way, mid-round pick that will have fantasy value. Same guy. Jalen Wright, Miami Dolphins.
That's a good thing.
I know, but yeah, I don't know.
Something happened out at Point Loma Nazarene University today, Chris.
I saw that. Do you want me to tell everybody what it is?
I've seen this on the chat a few times, so it's becoming more frequent. I think we should.
Well, good for PLNU. They're in the middle of the PacWest baseball tournament today in Azusa, California.
Okay.
And the PLNU Sea Lions.
Yep.
Is that one of your old alma maters?
No, but I did call play-by-play for them once.
Yes, you did. I knew you had a connection.
Yes.
They put up a record-breaking 23 runs today.
Oh, my goodness.
In a victory over Concordia College or Concordia University. 23-9. I'm assuming the game went over whatever the spread was.
Now, Dan is saying they have a game 7 maybe later today, Sandy said.
They have a winner-take-all game. This forced the winner-take-all game, which is, I believe, being played right now, according to what I can tell. So good luck to Point Loma Nazarene College. Also, continued good luck to the San Diego State women's softball team, which is going after the Mountain West Conference title this weekend.
Nice.
And is off to a good start. I believe they won their first game 9-1 over Boise State. We need to take a timeout. And when we come back, Tony returns for the Big Five.
Ooh, PLNU up 2-1 in the bottom of the first right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome back. 4:38 is the time. Florida Panthers are on the board first in Boston, 1-0. Indiana Pacers still getting all the calls. Lead the Knicks 28-20. First quarter winding down, game three. Real quick, I mentioned the Point Loma Nazarene baseball team, which is going for the conference title today. And in the championship ahead, 2-1. And I also touched on the Aztec women's softball team. They did win again today, the Aztecs. They beat Nevada 4-1. Mac Barbara is the Aztec slugger, like of historical proportions. She had her 14th home run of the year today, her third in the last four games. And she led the Aztecs to the victory. So San Diego State has reached the championship game now of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Last year, San Diego State played in the not only NCAA tournament, Scraby, made the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in softball.
I remember that.
Hopefully they are going after that again, led by the dynamic hitting of Mac Barbara, who is on a 9-for-13 streak at the plate.
Oh, it's a pretty good streak.
Not bad.
Hit, you know, I don't know what happened on those other four hits, but whatever.
Yeah, how'd she get out four times? What's the matter with her?
Seriously.
All right, let's get back to Tony. Let's get to traffic and then the Big Five.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive-Thru Oil Change, your trusted instant drive-thru oil change. Got a number of problems working with right now. Southbound side of the 50.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, if you listened to the Scraby Show last night, you are going to know about this hot topic that we brought up on the show last night. And I know you guys are not going to like it at first, but bear with me as I ask the question.
Number five.
But Ken Rosenthal has reported the A's are listening to trade offers for closer Mason Miller, and he even brought up the Padres as a potential destination. The benefits are you get a reliever who is striking everyone out right now, but... Actually, he is under control, his contract control, through the 2029 season. However, the price to acquire Mason Miller is not cheap. Rosenthal said the Padres would have to give a Jackson Merrill level of player just to start. And we're not going to talk about trading Jackson Merrill. But Chris, how much of a role do you think the contract control plays in a potential deal?
It probably gives you a better than average shot at being interested in somebody like that. If you didn't have any contract control, you know, A.J. Preller's pretty fond of getting guys that are under control, it seems to me. Padres do have a budget. I think that's pretty clear. So, you know, that would have to definitely play into it quite a bit. Now, I think this is an intriguing name. He'd be a huge get for the Padres because right now the Padres do not have a shutdown guy for the eighth inning. They continue to struggle to find that. I honestly believe that Dylan Cease was sent out for a seventh inning today, the other day at Wrigley Field, as much because Mike Schilt didn't trust anybody else for the seventh inning as it was because he was pitching so well. I mean, he was at a very high pitch count, and they were able to get another inning out of him. Padres, you know, need to get this sixth, seventh, eighth inning settled, and, you know, Miller would be a great addition, but, you know, when you start talking about players that are already on the roster starting in center field, then I'm probably going to have to stop talking to you about it.
Yes. Tony, how much do you think a role do you think contract control plays in a potential deal with Mason Miller?
It's everything. Why do you think the price is so high? They're controlling you until 2029. Is that what you said?
Yeah, through the 2029 season.
Yeah, no, it's all of the...
It's all of the intrigue?
It's all of the intrigue, right? Obviously, he throws 100. That's the first part of the intrigue. But the reason why they can ask for such a high price is because you basically get him for the cheapest possible price through 2029. We're in 2024. That's 5 years of control. And so, heck yeah, anybody who gets him is gonna get taxed on it, regardless of what the team is.
My issue that I brought up last night is that Mason Miller is not really a proven reliever yet. Yes, he's been good this year, but he's only played for like a month and a half.
He's as proven as Robert Suarez is.
Right. Don't trade
Robert Suarez
for him,
had what? Sorry,
don't trade for him then. If that is how a team feels, take yourself out of the running, because this is the price tag for a guy throwing 100, having a lot of success through the first month and a half. Now, if teams are smart, unless they are desperate right now, you know what they do? They wait.
Yeah.
Let him start to struggle a little bit. Maybe the price tag comes down. You still got a remarkable arm. You still got 5 years of control. But, you know, that's what the price tag is.
Yeah.
I'll say one last thing about trading for Mason Miller. You'd have to be pretty heartless if you're A.J. Preller or any other GM to trade anybody that you even remotely consider a part of your family to the Oakland franchise. That would be diabolical. I mean, can you imagine the conversation you had with Jackson Merrill? Hey, Jackson, San Diego, spectacular. We really love what you've done, but we're going to ship you to the Oakland mess.
I don't know that's any more diabolical, though, than sending Stephen Wilson to the White Sox.
Just about to bring that up.
Well, fair enough.
That's pretty diabolical.
Yeah, it was.
Poor Stephen Wilson is just stuck in purgatory right now.
Yeah. At least he's got a chance to maybe get out in the next couple
of years.
That's true. Whereas the Oakland thing, I don't think that's ever changing.
Mason Miller?
Yeah, because they also would have control for the next 5 years over for Jackson Mayer, although he would be in Vegas at some point, if that ever happens.
Yeah, but we're not even talking about that. Jackson Mayer is a Padre, and a Padre he will stay.
Number 4.
Mike Trout decided that having surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee was a better alternative than postponing the procedure and being a DH the rest of the season. He said to reporters yesterday it was an option they put out there. It would have been just maintaining the pain level of it. The day I got the MRI and it showed a tear, I was in a lot of pain, so it would have been a tough road for the rest of the season to bear that. I felt the best option for me was to get it right and be fully healthy to come back soon, end quote. I am not one of these people. I'm taking that
off. I read
off.
That wrong.
You read it wrong?
I thought the surgery was going to allow him to be in the DH role. But the article was saying was that if he had the surgery, or if he didn't have the surgery, he would only be able to DH?
For the rest of the season,
I got you.
But I am not one of these people I'm about to bring up. Some say he should have at least tested it and tried to play through it for his team. Tony, was this the right move for Mike Trout?
I'm so sick of people, man. Like, first it was Gobert, like people criticizing him for missing for wanting him to miss the birth of his first child.
Well,
that's
he did
crazy.
Start COVID, so.
Yeah, he did start COVID, but you know, he wasn't the only one being a jack. During that time. And now, you know, now people want my man to try it out. The dude just finished telling you how much in pain he was prior to the surgery, but you want him to test it out? Like, I can't with people. Like, let this man listen to his body, have the surgery so he can get back healthy as quick as possible. Because here's the thing. Let's say he waited, right?
Mm-hmm.
He waited to do it. He tried to go through the process, which is probably like another 3-4 weeks. And that's time wasted. Like, he had the surgery. Now he's at least on the road to getting back healthy for this season. A meniscus is not a fast recovery thing. So I think Mike Trout did the right thing. And please continue not to listen to these folks telling you should have waited.
Chris?
Mike Trout should have tried to play and forget his own personal feelings and health. And that's basically what you want me to say. I know it because
of
the way you asked
the
question.
People. I am not one of these people.
He said he's not one of these people, and then he sat back and knowingly listened to our answers because he is one of these people.
No.
You don't care about anybody else's health. You care only about trying to get your team to win a ball game. You know, he did the right thing because, again, the Angels are still not going anywhere.
Right.
Even if he was the DH this year.
I think that helps in his decision.
Yes, it's much easier for him to just sit back and watch another season be wasted by this franchise. I feel bad for Mike Trout because he just flat out cannot get healthy. I think, you know, it's going to all take its toll when he's done with his playing career.
For sure.
And everybody sits back and looks back at the resume of Mike Trout, and instead of referring to him as one of the greatest players of this generation, they're going to remind themselves that he was hurt all the time. And this is unfortunately something he can't escape, but it is really ludicrous of other people to tell athletes what they should and shouldn't do in terms of dealing with their own private lives and injuries. It is really... It's not right.
So. I am not one of those people.
Yes, you are.
You are.
I am not.
You're
no.
so one of those people.
I don't think I. My thought
Zion
process,
Williamson. I'm so tired of him different. Sitting out games.
That's
Mike
different.
Trout sitting out games.
Zion Williamson was doing windmill dunks while his team was struggling to make the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Number three.
Toronto has been awarded a WNBA franchise that will start play in 2026, according to multiple reports. It's going to be the league's first team outside the United States, and the new Toronto team would be the 14th team in the WNBA. An expansion franchise... This is how the article wrote this, so you tell me where this is going to go. An expansion franchise 8 is set to join the league in 2025. So... Where's Golden State, guys?
It's a Bakersfield.
It's going to be a Bakersfield
no.
team?
You know where it's going to be.
I know where it's going to be, but, like, talk about someone who has no idea about California. I don't know why this bothered me so much, but it did.
they called all of California
They
the
just said
State?
An expansion franchise in Golden State. Like it's a city.
As if
like,
it's a city.
Yeah, like in Oakland or something. Yeah. But
they're trying to be cute with their writing there, I think.
they're starting next year, 2025. San Diego has been named as a city possibly able to support a WNBA team, and they could play at Viejas Arena. Chris, we'll get to you in a second. Do you think a WNBA team would succeed here?
I think it'd have a chance to succeed here. I would love to see something like that come to San Diego, and especially the way that the WNBA is going right now.
Yeah.
This coming season is easily the most highly anticipated season in the history of the sport. There's nothing even close to it. I mean, people are going to be tuning in, watching games. They're not just going to watch Caitlin Clark. I think they're going to see Caitlin Clark, and they're going to find other players that they like to watch play, and therefore they're going to start watching them. They're going to be following teams a lot more closely. I think San Diego would be a great landing spot. I'm all about any professional level team coming to this town. We are shy in that area. So, unfortunately, you know, bottom line, I don't trust the movers and shakers of this city to ever get something like that done. You know, we seem to have some success when it comes to soccer. So maybe we got to talk to the people who bring soccer to this town and ask them why it is that they're able to have success where people trying to get other sports done here are not. Because I think Viejas Arena is a viable place
it's
for them to play.
It's a perfect place for them to play.
But again, you'd have to get San Diego State in on it. But
I signed him up for it, so San Diego State's cool.
Oh, fair enough.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the one venue that we have in this town for basketball that is shiny enough, you know, to fit a WNBA franchise. And there's no question, if that league came here, people would be out watching it. This sport's gaining momentum.
Tony, do you think a WNBA team would succeed here?
I have my doubts.
Ooh.
As much as I would love for any and all sports to be here in San Diego, I'm not sure that the folks here would support the WNBA. I would love to be proven wrong, though. You know, I think ideally on paper, this is a great place to bring any sports franchise. But I'm not sure that the folks out here would support it. You know, I'd make my way down to VAS to watch some WNBA for sure. But I don't know that there would be enough people over time to do it. But again, I want to be wrong on this.
Well, I don't know that you would be wrong on that, but I've been pleasantly surprised at the kind of support the Wave have received, which tells me that women's sports continue to grow in the minds of fans. I think the San Diego professional soccer team in the MLS is going to do well. But I think that since the Wave has done so well, and I don't think you can only say that's thanks to the stadium. I think people have really kind of enjoyed the evening out and that experience. Hopefully that would translate. But
I think that piece right there was what pushed it over that vote over the top, was that they knew that soccer could be played there.
Yeah.
I think that helped push it over the top. I just know that there, just because I have three girls, there are just so many young girls that are into soccer here in San Diego. And I don't know that it's not like that in women's basketball out here in Dago, but it just felt like the Wave thing was already kind of built in when they landed here, right? We got the stadium first for the football team, and then, what, a couple years later, maybe 3 years later, the Wave arrived. I just think they had so much more momentum than the WNBA does. But again, I want to be wrong on this. I would love for all sports to be here in San Diego. It's that type of city that we should have everything.
Yes, we should.
It's not. It didn't hurt the Wave that they had one of the best soccer players in the world on their team in Alex.
That also helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two.
Ahead of rookie minicamp today, actually, Bears coach Matt Eberflus wasted no time in naming Caleb Williams as Chicago's starting quarterback.
No.
He said, no conversation. He's the starter. He told all the
Who did he
reporters.
Beat out for that honor?
The mop in the closet.
I was going to say, I don't even know another possibility with the Bears.
He's the starter, Eberflus said, and the Bears have several benchmarks that they expect Williams to reach over the next few months ahead of training camp. Quote, full understanding of the
Welcome back. 4:38 is the time. Florida Panthers are on the board first in Boston, 1-0. Indiana Pacers still getting all the calls. Lead the Knicks 28-20. First quarter winding down, game three. Real quick, I mentioned the Point Loma Nazarene baseball team, which is going for the conference title today. And in the championship ahead, 2-1. And I also touched on the Aztec women's softball team. They did win again today. The Aztecs, they beat Nevada 4-1. Mac Barbara is the Aztec slugger, like of historical proportions. She had her 14th home run of the year today, her third in the last four games, and she led the Aztecs to the victory. So San Diego State has reached the championship game now of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Last year, San Diego State played in the not only NCAA tournament, Scraby, made the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in softball.
I remember that.
So they hopefully they are going after that again, led by the dynamic hitting of Mac Barbara, who is on a 9-for-13 streak at the plate.
Oh, it's a pretty good streak.
Not bad.
Hit, you know, I don't know what happened on those other four hits, but whatever.
Yeah, how'd she get out four times? What's the matter with her?
Seriously.
All right, let's get back to Tony. Let's get to traffic and then the Big Five.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drive-Thru Oil Change, your trusted instant drive-thru oil change. Got a number of problems we're working with right now. Southbound side of the 50.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, if you listened to the Scraby Show last night, you are going to know about this hot topic that we brought up on the show last night. And I know you guys are not going to like it at first, but bear with me as I ask the question.
Number five.
But Ken Rosenthal has reported the A's are listening to trade offers for closer Mason Miller, and he even brought up the Padres as a potential destination. The benefits are you get a reliever who is striking everyone out right now, but... And actually, he is under control, his contract control, through the 2029 season. However, the price to acquire Mason Miller is not cheap. Rosenthal said the Padres would have to give a Jackson Merrill level of player just to start. And we're not going to talk about trading Jackson Merrill. But Chris, how much of a role do you think the contract control plays in a potential deal?
It probably gives you a better than average shot at being interested in somebody like that. If you didn't have any contract control, you know, A.J. Preller's pretty fond of getting guys that are under control, it seems to me. Padres do have a budget. I think that's pretty clear. So, you know, that would have to definitely play into it quite a bit. Now, I think this is an intriguing name. He'd be a huge get for the Padres because right now the Padres do not have a shutdown guy for the eighth inning. They continue to struggle to find that. I honestly believe that Dylan Cease was sent out for a seventh inning today, the other day at Wrigley Field, as much because Mike Schilt didn't trust anybody else for the seventh inning as it was because he was pitching so well. I mean, he was at a very high pitch count, and they were able to get another inning out of him. Padres, you know, need to get this sixth, seventh, eighth inning settled, and, you know, Miller would be a great addition, but, you know, when you start talking about players that are already on the roster starting in center field, then I'm probably going to have to stop talking to you about it.
Yes. Tony, how much do you think a role do you think contract control plays in a potential deal with Mason Miller?
It's everything. Why do you think the price is so high? They're controlling you until 2029. Is that what you said?
Yeah, through the 2029 season.
Yeah, no, It's all of the intrigue, right? Obviously, he throws 100. That's the first part of the intrigue. But the reason why they can ask for such a high price is because you basically get him for the cheapest possible price through 2029. We're in 2024. That's 5 years of control. And so, heck yeah, anybody who gets him is gonna get taxed on it, regardless of what the team is.
My issue that I brought up last night is that Mason Miller is not really a proven reliever yet. Yes, he's been good this year, but he's only played for like a month and a half.
He's as proven as Robert Suarez is.
Right. Don't
trade
Robert
Suarez had what? Sorry,
don't trade for him then. If that is how a team feels, take yourself out of the running, because this is the price tag for a guy throwing 100, having a lot of success through the first month and a half. Now, if teams are smart, unless they are desperate right now, you know what they do? They wait.
Yeah.
Let him start to struggle a little bit. Maybe the price tag comes down. You still got a remarkable arm. You still got 5 years of control. But, you know, that's what the price tag is.
Yeah.
I'll say one last thing about trading for Mason Miller. You'd have to be pretty heartless if you're A.J. Preller or any other GM to trade anybody that you even remotely consider a part of your family to the Oakland franchise.
That would be diabolical.
That would be diabolical. I mean, can you imagine the conversation you had with Jackson Merrill? Hey, Jackson, San Diego, spectacular. We really love what you've done, but we're going to ship you to the Oakland mess.
I don't know
right
that
now.
That's any more diabolical, though, than sending Stephen Wilson to the White Sox.
Just about to bring that up.
Well, fair enough.
That's pretty diabolical.
Yeah, it was.
Poor Stephen Wilson is just stuck in purgatory right now.
Yeah. At least he's got a chance to maybe get out in the next couple
of years. That's
true. Whereas the Oakland thing, I don't think that's ever changing.
Mason
Miller? Yeah, because they also would have control for the next 5 years over Jackson Merrill, although he would be in Vegas at some point, if that were to happen.
If that ever happens.
Yeah, but we're not even talking about that. Jackson Merrill's a Padre, and a Padre, he will stay.
Number four.
Mike Trout decided that having surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee was a better alternative than postponing the procedure and being a DH the rest of the season. He said to reporters yesterday it was an option they put out there. It would have been just maintaining the pain level of it. The day I got the MRI and it showed a tear, I was in a lot of pain, so it would have been a tough road for the rest of the season to bear that. I felt the best option for me was to get it right and be fully healthy to come back soon, end quote. I am not one of these people. I'm taking that
off. I read
off.
That wrong.
You read it wrong?
I thought the surgery was going to allow him to be in the DH role. But he was saying the article was saying was that if he had the surgery or if he didn't have the surgery, he would only be able to DH
for the rest of the season.
I got you.
But I am not one of these people I'm about to bring up. Some say he should have at least tested it and tried to play through it for his team. Tony, was this the right move for Mike Trout?
I'm so sick of people, man. Like, first it was Gobert, like people criticizing him for missing his for wanting him to miss the birth of his first child.
Well,
that's
he did
crazy.
Start COVID, so.
Yeah, he did start COVID, but you know, he wasn't the only one being a jack. During that time, and now you know. Now people want my man to try it out. The dude just finished telling you how much in pain he was prior to the surgery, but you want him to test it out, like. I can't with people. Like, let this man listen to his body, have the surgery so he can get back healthy as quick as possible. Because here's the thing. Let's say he waited, right?
Mm-hmm.
He waited to do it. He tried to go through the process, which is probably like another 3-4 weeks. And that's time wasted. Like, he had the surgery. Now he's at least on the road to getting back healthy for this season. A meniscus is not a fast recovery thing. So, I think Mike Trout did the right thing, and please continue not to listen to these folks telling you you should have waited.
Chris?
Mike Trout should have tried to play and forget his own personal feelings and health. And that's basically what you want me to say. I know it because of the way you asked the question.
I am not one of these people.
He said he's not one of these people, and then he sat back and knowingly listened to our answers because he is one of these people.
No.
You don't care about anybody else's health. You care only about trying to get your team to win a ball game. You know, he did the right thing because, again, the Angels are still not going anywhere.
Right.
Even if he was the DH this year.
I think that helps in his decision.
Yes, it's much easier for him to just sit back and watch another season be wasted by this franchise. I feel bad for Mike Trout because he just flat out cannot get healthy. I think, you know, it's going to all take its toll when he's done with his playing career.
For sure.
And everybody sits back and looks back at the resume of Mike Trout, and instead of referring to him as one of the greatest players of this generation, they're going to remind themselves that he was hurt all the time. And this is unfortunately something he can't escape, but it is really ludicrous of other people to tell athletes what they should and shouldn't do in terms of dealing with their own private lives and injuries. It is really... It's not right.
So. I am not one of those people.
Yes, you are.
You are.
I am not. You're so one of those people.
I don't think I. My thought
Zion
process,
Williamson. I'm so
well,
tired of him
different.
Sitting out games.
That's
Mike
different.
Trout sitting out games.
Zion Williamson was doing windmill dunks while his team was struggling to make the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Number three.
Toronto has been awarded a WNBA franchise that will start play in 2026, according to multiple reports. It's going to be the league's first team outside the United States, and the new Toronto team would be the 14th team in the WNBA. An expansion franchise... This is how the article wrote this, so you tell me where this is going to go. An expansion franchise 8 is set to join the league in 2025. So, where's Golden State, guys?
It's a Bakersfield.
It's going to be a Bakersfield
no.
team?
You know where it's going to be.
I know where it's going to be, but, like, talk about someone who has no idea about California. I don't know why this bothered me so much, but it did.
they called all of California.
They
the
just said
State?
An expansion franchise in Golden State, like it's a city,
as if
like,
it's a city,
yeah, like in Oakland or something. But
they're trying to be cute with their writing there. I think
they're starting next year, 2025. San Diego has been named as a city possibly able to support a WNBA team, and they could play at Viejas Arena. Chris. We'll get to you in a second. Do you think a WNBA team would succeed here?
I think it'd have a chance to succeed here. I would love to see something like that come to San Diego, and especially the way that the WNBA is going right now.
Yeah.
This coming season is easily the most highly anticipated season in the history of the sport. There's nothing even close to it. I mean, people are going to be tuning in, watching games. They're not just going to watch Caitlin Clark. I think they're going to see Caitlin Clark, and they're going to find other players that they like to watch play, and therefore they're going to start watching them. They're going to be following teams a lot more closely. I think San Diego would be a great landing spot. I'm all about any professional level team coming to this town. We are shy in that area. So, unfortunately, you know, bottom line, I don't trust the movers and shakers of this city to ever get something like that done. You know, we seem to have some success when it comes to soccer. So maybe we got to talk to the people who bring soccer to this town and ask them why it is that they're able to have success where people trying to get other sports done here are not. Because I think Viejas Arena is a viable place for them to play.
It's a perfect place for them to play.
But again, you'd have to get San Diego State in on it. But
I signed him up for it, so San Diego State's cool.
Oh, fair enough.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the one venue that we have in this town for basketball that is shiny enough, you know, to fit a WNBA franchise. And there's no question, if that league came here, people would be out watching it. This sport's gaining momentum.
Tony, do you think a WNBA team would succeed here?
I have my doubts.
Ooh.
As much as I would love for any and all sports to be here in San Diego, I'm not sure that the folks here would support the WNBA. I would love to be proven wrong, though. You know, I think ideally on paper, this is a great place to bring any sports franchise. But I'm not sure that the folks out here would support it. You know, I'd make my way down to Viejas to watch some WNBA for sure. But I don't know that there would be enough people over time to do it. But again, I want to be wrong on this.
Well, I don't know that you would be wrong on that, but I've been pleasantly surprised at the kind of support the Wave have received, which tells me that women's sports continue to grow in the minds of fans. I think the San Diego professional soccer team in the MLS is going to do well. But I think that since the Wave has done so well, and I don't think you can only say that's thanks to the stadium. I think people have really kind of enjoyed the evening out and that experience. Hopefully that would translate. But
I think that piece right there was what pushed it over that vote over the top, was that they knew that soccer could be played there.
Yeah.
I think that helped push it over the top. I just know that there, just because I have three girls, there are just so many young girls that are into soccer here in San Diego, and I don't know that it's not like that in women's basketball out here in Dago, but it just felt like the Wave thing was already kind of built in when they landed here, right? We got the stadium first for the football team, and then, what, a couple years later, maybe 3 years later, the Wave arrived. I just think they had so much more momentum than the WNBA does. But again, I want to be wrong on this. I would love for all sports to be here in San Diego. This is that type of city that we should have everything.
Yes, we should.
It's not. It didn't hurt the Wave that they had one of the best soccer players in the world on their team now.
That also helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two.
Ahead of rookie minicamp today, actually, Bears coach Matt Eberflus wasted no time in naming Caleb Williams as Chicago's starting quarterback.
No.
He said, no conversation. He's the starter. He told all the
Who did he
reporters.
Beat out for that honor?
The mop in the closet.
I was going to say, I don't even know another possibility with the Bears.
He's the starter, Eberflus said, and the Bears have several benchmarks that they expect Williams to reach over the next few months ahead of training camp. Quote, full understanding of the concepts, run, pass, checks in his fundamentals, the fundamentals that we have in place for him, which he's really good fundamentally, but we have some things we want him to work on and improve on as well, end quote. Tony, why do the Bears hate Justin Fields so much?
Wait, ask the question.
Why do the Bears hate Justin Fields so much? It just seems like the Chicago Bears are willing to move heaven and earth to get Caleb Williams to be happy, but Justin Fields had nothing, and they continued to throw him under the bus.
You know what my theory is?
Justin Fields
is that
not
they got a
good
guy? Bunch of dudes. They have a bunch of dudes that can't coach, and so when you can't coach, then you have to blame it on the player.
That is right? A far out point.
Football is different than I think baseball, and in some ways basketball. I mean, basketball is probably a more comparable sport because the X's and O's do kind of matter, especially in football, though. And so if you're not setting your quarterback up around his skill set, that's what the thing that was crazy to me. It just felt like they kept trying to do things that he wasn't good at. Right?
Like be and a then, pocket passer. And he was
and
like,
then
I'm not.
When they let him do his thing, he would make magic. I don't know. I just think that they're not very good. And I don't think even Caleb Williams is going to be able to save them when it's all said and done.
Chris, why do the Bears hate Justin Fields so much?
I don't know, but the worst coach in the NFL right now is Matt Eberflus.
Over Sean Payton?
Oh, Sean Payton at least has a Super Bowl he can go back on. Right? Matt Eberflus
that was like
is not
ancient times.
Matt Eberflus is the worst coach in the NFL. He's the worst coach in the NFL. And all you had to do is watch Justin Fields in the games where he started to do his own thing out there, because Tony's right, he would make magic. And then the next game would happen, and they wouldn't have any of those plays in the game planned. I mean, your coach of the Bears is an idiot. The franchise is stupid. So I agree with Tony. I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle a lot more than we think. I think people are looking at the addition of Keenan Allen, the addition of...
Watch how pissed off those guys are at the end of this season.
That's right. When Keenan Allen can't be figured into the game plan, he'll catch 14 passes, and the next game they'll hand
DJ
off.
DJ Moore.
They've got weapons. So here's the thing with Eberflus. You better be careful, because this is going to be the year where he totally gets exposed. He's not going to have any more excuses after this one's over. If you look at the Bears and they're 4-13 with Williams and Keenan Allen and everything they've brought in there, people are going to start understanding that the guy doesn't have very good understanding of what he's trying to do. Where did he even come from? I don't remember. Baltimore back coach or something like that? I don't know. I just think that, you know, Chicago's going to stink as long as he's there. And that, you know, who's the GM? Ryan somebody
Ryan
or other?
Poles.
Yeah, they got problems in
That's
Chicago.
That's a great name.
They got
it
problems.
He was the defensive coordinator for the Colts before becoming
the Colts.
Chicago Bears.
Well, and they had a they
That's
had
the
one
problem.
Of the great
that,
defenses in the NFL history while he was
That's,
there.
That is the other problem. He has a head coach that is a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this, you know, typically those end up not working great.
Yeah, the only coach that is even close to Matt Eberflus is that Shanahan guy in San Francisco, but he gets the nod because he can at least get, you know, into the playoffs.
That was
where the 49ers, by the way, over the last 10 years have won more playoff games without winning a Super Bowl than any other team in the league.
You know what that tells
Just
me?
Just a reminder.
Consistency, and I'm cheering late into the year every
Consistency
year.
Consistency and ultimate failure.
Heartbreak.
It doesn't matter. I get to
doesn't
see my
matter.
Team playing that championship
doesn't matter.
Game.
Really?
I get to see it.
Does not matter.
It.
Does not matter. You just play to be very good. Interesting. Not surprising, but interesting.
Stop it. Could a coin flip have decided the fate of Brock Bowers? Apparently so, guys, according to another player. Terrion Arnold, he ended up getting drafted by the Lions, but he thought he was going to go early. He was on this podcast called The Next Round, and he said, actually, the Raiders coach, they called me after the draft, and they were like, we actually had a coin toss between you and Brock
Antonio
Bowers.
Pierce.
Yes, it landed on him. I was like, oh, wow. However, Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce said neither a coin flip nor a phone call occurred. He said, no call and no coin flip as soon as the last two quarterbacks said Bowers all the way, end quote. Antonio Pierce also said the Bowers pick was decided before the Raiders were even on the clock. So, Chris, who's lying here?
Terrion Arnold.
Why, though? This is the thing. I don't understand why.
I don't
what
know,
he
because he's looking at
this.
What, he's got to motivate himself and say, you know, they passed on
but
me.
But he's going to make up a phone call?
I don't understand what guys do what they do, but why would the Raiders organization lie about it?
See, that's because it's so stupid that it could be true.
No, I think what happened here is that, honestly, I think what happened was there was a discussion. This is really simple. if you think about it, there was a discussion, and Antonio Pierce probably said, yeah, it was a coin flip between you and Brock Bowers. That is a colloquial way of speaking.
Wait, so you're saying that he meant it as a phrase?
It's a very... It was a coin flip we want. It's a total phrase. Have you never heard of it before?
It's a toss-up.
It was a toss-up, all right? It was a toss-up.
But he didn't. He said a coin flip.
Yes, because it's the exact same thing in the world of a phrase.
I get it.
To say that we really thought about you. We thought about Bowers. It was a coin flip. We went with Bowers.
I think it's crazy that you're assuming that was his intent.
That's exactly what happened, because I can't believe the Raiders would honestly sit there, pick up a coin, and let the future of their franchise be determined by that.
Come on, man.
And then call him and go, you know, we're such a bad franchise that we've resorted to doing coin flips to determine our players.
That's a good point.
Tony? I hate... These people are going to make me hate podcasts. Like, everybody just gets on there and just says ridiculous stuff all the time because they want clicks. That's what this stuff has turned into, clicks. Get some clicks. Say something crazy.
I clicked on this podcast, and I have no idea.
He has a podcast, his own podcast.
He was on a podcast.
I was going to say, because I've never heard of this guy, nor would I have ever heard of this guy if he didn't say something this stupid. So now I know who he is, so good for him.
They didn't, coax it out of him. He offered it up straight away.
Sure he did, because he wants to say something controversial so that people will know who he is. These guys are, I'm going to give him credit for being at least that savvy.
All I know is we are in a time where, tea rules all. So if you can create some tea, just ask Shannon Sharpe. Ever since he had Cat Williams on there, he's just turning up everything.
Yes. I mean,
Shaq now, it's just... This
Drake,
is where
Kendrick
at,
Lamar, tea everywhere.
I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised you're not more popular than you already are, Scrab, because you say silly, stupid, out of the real things all the time.
All right,
you should be
Solano
right up there with Terry on Arnold and the rest of these guys.
97.3 The Fan.